Once again, we are so grateful for all the mothers who are here, how you've blessed us. So thank you for being used of God. Here we go. Yesterday was a real blessed day. Jason G was married to Elise Hara, so to the G family and to the Hara family, our heartiest congratulations. It was indeed a blessing. My study for my doctor of ministry was communication dynamics. Doesn't make me a good communicator, my wife can attest to that, but that's what I studied. And it's always a challenge to try and communicate with others. And yesterday's wedding and the reception was another interesting dynamic. After the wedding ceremony here, we went to the reception site. And there was some time. And we were talking with people. And I asked my wife, Mary, would you like something to drink? And she saw somebody carrying around this pink drink, a Shirley Temple. So she said, I'd like a Shirley Temple. So I said, okay. And I went to the bar. I was thirsty myself. So I said, one Shirley Temple. And, you know, I cannot handle alcohol of any kind. I mean, a couple drops knocks me out. So I looked around and I saw a can of Sprite. I said, I'll take a Sprite. Safe. So the bartender said, okay. So he poured the Sprite in two cups and then he poured some other stuff into the for the Shirley Temple. Simple enough. Took the two drinks back to my wife, gave her the Shirley Temple. I was thirsty, took a couple gulps of the Sprite, quote unquote. And I said, this is not Sprite. And I told Mary, I know this isn't Sprite. And you know what happens? I think what happened was he had some alcohol in the cup already, and he poured the Sprite in it, not knowing that there was alcohol in there. So I used a straw. So when you use a straw, you get the stuff at the bottom. So I drank only the alcohol, and I said, oh, my gosh. And as soon as I took the two gulps, my head started to spin. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, the last time I drank alcohol, I was out for a couple of days, and I said, I got a sermon. Oh, I got to talk to somebody if I can't make it. And really, it was starting to affect me, and I could see my eyes starting to get smaller and smaller, and the people, with, you know, it was like in slow motion. Yes, it really does happen to me. And so I thought, oh, and now my wife is trying to encourage me. She said, oh, drink lots of water. Drink some coffee. You'll be all right. And she's trying to give me a pep talk like a football coach. Well, I know my body. It just does not respond well to alcohol. What made it worse, and I'm not going to mention who we were talking to, what made it really bad was the person I was talking to said, oh, you know, I think you got vodka in there. And I said, oh, that's what it is. And she said, here, give it to me. And she downed that drink in nothing flat. And she's just carrying on like everything's fine. And I'm thinking, man, am I a wimp? I can't even handle two sips. And this person just... Well, what does that have to do with my sermon? I was communicating with the bartender. I said, I want a Sprite. I made sure there was, you know, I looked at the can. There's a Sprite, you know. I thought, surely I'm communicating clearly. I want a Sprite. Maybe he thought I want a Sprite plus something. I don't know. But I know what I told him. I want a Sprite. Something got messed up in the communication. And I almost, in fact, you know, we were walking to the table at the reception. I almost destroyed the light set because I was tripping around and I almost fell. It really sounds crazy, but I really was under the influence, if you want to call it that. And I knew something was wrong. I didn't clearly communicate. As a preacher, my task is to communicate the Word of God. Hopefully, being faithful to the text, communicating in a way that the hearers can understand. But even then, I hear comments every so often, man, I don't know what you were talking about up there. Yes, I make mistakes. The difference between my communication with the bartender and any speaker communicating with you, or any teacher communicating the Word of God, you know, there's a big difference. You know what that is? The presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit can make words that might seem hard to understand and reveal awesome truths to the hearer. I'm going to explain how this works as we go into the sermon. So this morning, we are going to focus on this topic, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John 14, verses 16 to 26. And this is part of the Overflow series that we are venturing into. You have, I hope, a handout that has the verses on there. This way, I don't have to show it on the screen. You could just take a look at it. If you don't have a handout, you could look at your Bible. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. I'm going to read the first two verses. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, I want you to look at that one word, another. Another. Jesus refers to the helper and modifies it with the word another. Now, that word translated from the Greek, this another, has the meaning of sameness, sameness in essence, sameness in terms of likeness. And so when Jesus said another helper, He's referring to a helper that has the same essence as Jesus Christ. There's another word for another in the Greek that is different. And that word refers to something of different quality. I'm going to share with you from Acts chapter 7, verses 17 to 18. In that verse, in those two verses, it says, until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. So this another refers to an entity that's entirely different. The another used in this passage in John is similar to John 18:15, where it says, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Here, this another disciple is of the same likeness as Peter, in that they're both disciples of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying that another helper like Himself is coming for His people as Jesus' physical body will depart. Now, there's some tremendous implications of that fact. If Jesus is saying this another helper, which is the Holy Spirit, is coming, and that Holy Spirit is of the same essence as Himself, this ascribes deity to the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of cults who believe that the Holy Spirit is not God, but instead the Holy Spirit is like the Force. May the Force be with you. Power. But clearly the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a person. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, the Holy Spirit has intellect. In Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit has emotions. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Holy Spirit acts willfully. In John 14:26, the Holy Spirit teaches. In Mark 13:11, the Holy Spirit gives guidance. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It is a person. And because the Holy Spirit is another Jesus, so to speak, although distinct, we can safely conclude that the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus was God. Jesus also calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, because the Spirit's work is to reveal spiritual truths to believers. And He is with us. One of the awesome blessings of being a believer is that the Holy Spirit is with us, not just for a little while, not just when we're feeling good, but He is with us forever. Now, this dynamic is a little different than what was happening in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go, come and go. But from the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is with you and dwells in you. That is a truth. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you and dwells within you. Don't ever, ever forget this awesome truth. Now, if you're like me, there are days when you get up and you're thinking, I feel really crummy. The farthest thing on my mind is the Holy Spirit with me and in me. I just don't feel it. If you've ever felt like that, you're wondering, well, if I can't feel the Holy Spirit, is there any value? Yes. Let me explain. I'm going to use an illustration that I've used before. My dog, Butch. My dog, Butch, most cowardly Sheltie, probably in the history of dog kind. Butch was afraid of rabbits. I mean, there was one time, there was a tiny little rabbit on the front yard, and Butch was having a cow because he saw the rabbit. Well, Butch being a cowardly dog, every time I took him to the vet, he would just whimper and cry. The minute he got in the car, he would start howling and crying. And the only way he would stop is if I took my right hand and put it on Butch. Then he would stop. But I had a stick shift. So every time I took my right hand off to shift gears, Butch would start crying and crying and crying. He would stop. We're kind of like Butch. I was right next to Butch all that time. He was less than 2 feet away. I'm the one who gives comfort, not my hand. Yet for Butch, when the hand was not upon his body, he just felt so bad. And I believe we are like that as well. The Holy Spirit is with us and dwells within us all the time. But when we don't feel it, we feel like, where's God? Where's the Holy Spirit? What's going on here? I believe we act a lot like Butch. Verses 18 to 24, and this is the passage which I think really reflects the whole theme of overflow. I'm going to read it to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. You see that overflow? Because I live, you will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. You see that? Visualize Alex's drawing of the cup. See that thing? It's all over this passage. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See that overflow? Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In these verses, you see the dynamic of how being loved is just, it starts from the Father, flows to the Son, and now Jesus has introduced another person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also loves us, empowering us to obey Him, to do what He calls us to do, to love others, to serve Him faithfully. This is that overflow that we've been talking about all these weeks. Now, when we are having difficulty obeying God, loving others as Christ has loved us, I submit to you, it's because our cups are tilted sideways. And we have to resort to our willpower, our compartmentalization, our resources, mind over matter, trying to think of pleasant things or denial, whatever it is, so that we can be kind and cordial to others, but really not love others as Christ has loved us. Because we're not flowing. God's love is not flowing into us. We're tilted sideways, so busy trying to do things that we forget that we are a cup meant to receive the overflow of God the Father's love, the Son's love, and the Holy Spirit's love in us. This is not how we are to function. So, one application from this passage. Are we obeying Jesus' new commandment? And the more I study about this truth, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, the more I am convinced that this truth has been badly marginalized by most people in the church. It's almost as if that commandment is like the icing. We got the cake, which is go therefore and make disciples. We got the good stuff in the middle. We got to serve faithfully. We got to do good things. Love one another. Maybe when we get around to the icing. I believe we've got it wrong. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 4, if you don't love, you don't know me. That's a pretty strong statement. If you don't love, you don't know me. In fact, I think this, and it's just my thought, not church policy or anything, but I think this, as we consider leaders of Wintersburg, not only should we consider their gifting, their willingness to serve, their faithfulness, I really think we should add this other dimension. How do you obey the new commandment? Do you love others as Christ has loved you? I really think we need to bring that up as one of the more important criteria in terms of determining who God's calling to be leaders. Verses 25 to 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will help us to remember. I have had many, many encounters with people who wanted to challenge my faith. Militant atheists and agnostics who just wanted to take me on. A lot of times, you know, I'm so busy, I don't really want to engage in it, but some I can't avoid. And so there are times when I engage in conversation. I try to be as civil and as loving and gracious as possible, but some are so hostile, they just want to pounce on me to make Christianity appear so bad. And you know what's amazing? All those times that I've engaged in such conversations, in every single one, God has given me understanding and words to communicate to the people who probably want to do me harm. It's amazing. In fact, there are times when I'm driving home or going, walking away from such an encounter, and I'm thinking, wow, I haven't said those words in a long time. I haven't even mentioned those verses. I haven't even studied those verses in about 10 years. How did it just pop into my head? The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will help us to remember. Remember, the Holy Spirit is with you and dwells within you. I realize many of us are afraid to share the gospel boldly. I do believe study is important. We should study. We should study. Keep on studying. Study ever the more. But when the rubber hits the road, when you don't have a library that you can run to as you're engaged in conversation, trust the Holy Spirit. He is there to teach you and to help us remember. What does that look like? Visitor from Japan, Gardena Valley Baptist Church. And I've used this so many times, you're probably tired of hearing it, but it is one of the most miraculous things I've ever witnessed. My first sermon ever, 1979 or 80, whenever it was, and my first sermon ever in Japanese. You know how hard that is? I was just, my brain cells were cranking and I just couldn't do it. And I think the best part of my sermon was I read the Bible. That's about it. Illustrations didn't connect, didn't make sense, and I was so happy when I could say amen to end the sermon in prayer. And I remember sitting down and I said, oh my gosh, Father, forgive me for, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so sorry I messed up. A woman sitting in the congregation wrote to the pastor of Gardena Valley Baptist Church from Japan and said, I was there listening to Fred's sermon and it pierced my heart and I came to repentance and faith. I believe in Jesus. So the pastor shared that with me and he said, what did you say? And I said, you don't want to know. And I stood there and said, that has got to be the Holy Spirit, because the sermon itself is so lousy. The Holy Spirit will teach and cause to remember. Now, I'm not advocating laziness. I'm not advocating sloppiness. I think we should do everything to be precise in what we teach. For that, you've got to discipline yourself. You've got to study. But you know what? We're human. We're going to make mistakes. There are things that no matter how much you prepare, you will not be perfect. Remember, the Holy Spirit is with you and dwells within you. So, how do I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit? And I take this up because I hear so often this issue being debated by different people in the evangelical church. As believers, we sometimes make this more complicated than what it should be. There are some people who believe that we cannot experience the presence of the Holy Spirit unless we speak in tongues. I became Christian back in 1973, and it was in the context of a group that was what we would call charismatic. They spoke in tongues. So I went to a conference about 5 months after I became Christian. I didn't know what kind of conference it was, but there were some people talking, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, but it was good. I liked singing and worship. And then a woman came up to me, and she was one of the counselors at this conference. And she looked at me and said, "Are you Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins." And then she said, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "What is that?" And she said, "Oh, well, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit." I said, "Baptism sounds good to me." So she did something. And then she said, "Now, to prove that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to speak in tongues." And I said, "Again, I don't know what that is." She said, "I'm going to show it to you." And then she said, "Close your eyes, close my..." Then she grabbed my mouth. And she started going like this. "No, I'm going to fly on." And I started, you know, I didn't know what was going on, so I started making sounds. And she says, "Ah, see, you're speaking in tongues." I know that's an extreme example. I do not believe that's the way the gifting of tongues works. But that was the way she tried to teach me. That's an extreme example. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe that tongues still exist in this world today. Not on demand, but as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. On the other side of the spectrum, there are some who believe that you cannot experience the presence of the Holy Spirit because that was just for the apostolic period. Those miracles don't happen anymore. I remember one time when I prayed for the forklift at work, and the forklift that didn't work started working, and my friend who used to curse God eventually came to faith. And I said, "I really think that was a miracle." "No, can't be, because miracles don't happen now." Well, I think that is a little bit, I'll use the term arrogant, because some people who believe that miracles and these kinds of things don't work because we can't do it in a formulaic way, or our minds can't conceive how these things could happen, therefore it cannot be. I really believe that's an arrogant attitude. God can do whatever he wants. He is Almighty God. So my conclusions with respect to experiencing the presence of God, I've got a handout that's hopefully in your program. It's by the Gospel Coalition. And Gospel Coalition is headed up by D.A. Carson and Tim Keller. And they write 5 ways in which we can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel, through the Word of God, through the church, in our giftings, in our spirit. You could take a look at this and meditate on this during the week. That's what it's there for. But my conclusions with respect to how do I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, I really believe that as genuine believers, as we encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's with us and dwells within us. I believe what we have to do is not rely so much on our senses, you know, like, "Yeah, I really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit." Not so much that, but more of a faith decision. I believe that the Holy Spirit is with me. I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Not, "I feel him today." Not so much yesterday. But rather, "I believe the Holy Spirit is with me and dwells within me." So, with respect to how do I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, again, these 5 ways put out by the Gospel Coalition, definitely a good, good document. I think ultimately, though, it's our faith. I believe the Holy Spirit is with me. I believe the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I believe the Holy Spirit will teach me. I believe the Holy Spirit will cause me to remember many things. And I think if we walk down that pathway, we are being faithful to the Word of God as opposed to relying on some sort of a sensory perception that the Holy Spirit is present within me. Wittersburg.org, Overflow, this is the series that we're in. The past sermons are on our the website. Check it out. I believe that this is an awesome series that God has led us to share with all of you for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for you are a good God. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, another helper.